Coming up next, it's the Magnuson Park Gallery Exchange, an opportunity to hear directly from artists and those in the arts community. Learn what really inspires and motivates the creative work shown in the Magnuson Park Gallery.
Hi everyone, this is Terrico Summers with Magnuson Park Gallery. For those of you who don't know, Magnuson Park Gallery is a nonprofit art gallery that is located on the second floor of Building 30 in Magnuson Park. Last year, we had an amazing show where a few artists showed pieces that depicted our human impact on the environment. The show was anchored by two large double-paneled paintings of an apocalyptic scene that pulled you in with their soothing color combinations. They were beautiful and haunting, and a bit of a wake-up call, making us realize the importance of amplifying the changes to our environment. In efforts to highlight these changes, Environmental Ties 2 is opening up at Magnuson Park Gallery on March 13th and will run till April 19th. This time, the show will include only one piece from 50 different artists on how they view our imprint on the environment. Tesla Kawakami is an artist that created the large pieces that I can't stop thinking about from last year. I'm very excited to have Tesla here today to help interpret their work and tell us about the piece in the show. Welcome to space, Tesla.
Hi, Terrico. I'm excited to be here.
Welcome. First, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you started becoming an artist?
Yeah, I decided I wanted to pursue art as a career when I was 15. My dad works in the video game industry, and he brought me to a show of one of his coworkers, and I saw her paintings, and I was really inspired by her career and all of her successes, and so I asked her if she would be my mentor, and she taught me how to oil paint, and then I went to Western and got a BFA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Tesla, what did you think about the programming at Western Washington for the arts?
It was really great. I did the BA and then the BFA. So the BFA program at Western is just a smaller cohort of about 12 students. You spend the year creating a body of work and having a show at the end. So all of those diptychs I created for my final BFA show. And that was such a great program. It felt like a really good way to sort of prepare you for the intense practices of working as a studio artist and building that discipline. So it definitely really helped me also to have that whole body of work as I was graduating that I was able to bring forward and show in galleries and use in applications upcoming. And then after I graduated, the first show that I had was at the Museum of Northwest Art, and that's where I created that diptych of the people and the teenagers interacting with that like foot of water that we were talking about earlier. And so that was really exciting to have that show like right after I graduated, be able to sort of make my museum debut, and two of my professors were also showing in that show. So it was really exciting to be able to transition into a career and then have my professors like also become my peers.
How did you, I mean, I want to kind of get back to the large pieces that I saw, just because I can't stop thinking about them. And I just remember, I believe they were apocalyptic scenes of some flooding, and maybe one was like a beach house that was damaged by probably the ocean rising. It just was, the colors were amazing and really brought you in. There was just debris everywhere. It was beautiful and scary at the same time. How did you kind of come to, I mean, I know with the global warming and everything, these are things that are on our minds. But how did you, is it a vision that you saw and just, because they're massive. The one that has people in it, it's almost life-size people.
Yeah, I became interested in depicting climate change and climate disaster. In 2021, there was a flood that happened in Bellingham, which is where I lived when I went to college. And the imagery that just came out of that was so like striking. It was just one street just completely flooded with water. And so I got some images of that and used that to create some paintings. And that was kind of what sparked my interest in depicting environmental ruin and climate change just from that. And I was really drawn to the water and the reflections. And so I decided to go further with that in my paintings that I made in that series Collapse, which was at the Environmental Ties show. So those paintings were sort of symmetrical, two panels, and the bottom panel was the reflection in the water of the top panel, which was the house that had been damaged by the water and the tide coming in, the erosion.
Right. And then the other one was, it looked like teenagers with cell phones walking through about a foot of water. Kind of almost, it was odd because it almost looked like it was normal, kind of normalizing something really terrible, you know, and traumatic. And what I really grasped from that is you always had some animals or nature involved, you know, like a deer looking at you, or maybe some ducks that were nesting in like waste of some sort. And it just kind of brought home, like, you know, how we're purveyors of this earth and we're not doing a great job of it. You know, it was kind of, I don't know, that's what I got from it. I also noticed that there was a lot of symbols hiding in the painting, and that you mentioned in one of your interviews that Kunali Crosby was an inspiration. How did you incorporate some of her ideas?
Yeah, she uses a photo transfer technique, which is similar to what I'm using in my like collaged elements in my paintings. She uses newspaper clippings and different imagery to create this whole patterned background that she paints on top of in her images. And I was taking different images of toys and childhood memorabilia and then collaging them into my paintings with a similar technique where I'd print out the image and then cover it in acrylic medium, like sandwich it onto the painting, and then I'd use a wet sponge to scrub off all the paper, and the only thing that would be left is the ink. Okay. So that's how the image gets transferred on.
That's how it's done. Okay. Yeah. I was always curious about that. What about this upcoming show? I know because there were so many artists that want to be in it, I think that you probably only have one piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is it going to be another big piece or something?
No, it's a smaller piece. So it's from a series that I did for a show in Pioneer Square at a design studio called Fruit Super. And so for that show, it was 12 and then 14 pieces that were 11 by 17. So they're much smaller. And the entire series is just depictions of plants and animals from the Ho rainforest. So the images are pictures that I went out on like a little off-season winter trip to the Ho and took pictures of ferns and animals. And so they're all depictions of that. So they're quite smaller. And with this show, I wanted to convey like a little bit more of like a peaceful, whimsical aspect to like my relationship with the environment instead of depicting more of the climate change.
Right.
You know, I feel like it's important to keep both of those stories and both of those perspectives, and having the reflection on the negative or, you know, different aspects that humans have sort of inflicted on the world, and then also to have that like sweet sentimental like
and beauty. The whole rainforest is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I can't wait to see that. What do you want the audience to take away from your art? I know that it impacted me. What do you want to convey?
I think that I want to convey the seriousness of climate change, but I also want to convey hope and a sense of resilience. With my intentions with making the paintings really colorful and attractive, I wanted to sort of draw in the viewer with that and then incorporate that shocking image of destruction and decay, and then sort of wrapping it up with the interactions of animals and people and sort of depicting the animals interacting and still living and persevering within the ruin and the trash and the decay as sort of like a hopeful sign of being able to adapt and being able to coexist with the reality that we've created.
That's deep. What's next for you as an artist? What are the themes and styles that you want to explore?
I think definitely holding space for both of those themes of beauty and whimsy and levity, and then also the destruction and ruin of climate change. And so sort of balancing both of those things, because it kind of weighs on me a lot as an artist to be only creating that intense imagery. So I kind of find myself needing a break to go back to just like simple, beautiful things that I feel like I can relate to. So still kind of just bouncing around between those things, kind of swinging back towards the more intense depictions of climate destruction recently, since I completed those paintings about a year ago. Okay. So yeah, I have a artist residency coming up in April. So that's going to be the month of April. I'm going to Vashon Artist Residency. So I'll be there. And while I'm there, I'm planning on creating a lot of paintings for a show that I have upcoming at the Chase Gallery in Spokane. That's going to be my first solo exhibition.
Oh, so that's exciting.
I'm really excited for that. I think I'm going to create a couple more of those like really big diptychs, and then some more of the smaller ones, just to have that balance.
Okay. And is there a website or anything we can go to if we want to take a little sneak peek of that? Or
the Chase Gallery, I'm not sure they have any of my show information up yet. That's going to be in July, but the information about my shows is always going to be on my Instagram, which is Romantically Uninterested, or my website, which is just TeslaKawakami.com.
Okay. And then one last question. Is there any music or song that you like to paint to kind of tie in the music and the art?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always find myself listening to the Studio Ghibli movie soundtracks while I'm painting. It's just very soothing and good vibes for the background. I really like Spirited Away and Howl's Moving Castle soundtracks.
Okay. Well, Tesla, thank you so much for coming to space today. Your work is super inspirational and truly important. We also have Jordan Quimbley here today. He is an artist that lives near Magnuson Park, who showed one of his pieces in the Plein Air show a couple of years ago. It was a beautiful water scene with this constant rhythm of rippling waves. I believe it was across Lake Washington. It's super unique on how the light hit it, the certain parts of the waves, and this constant repetition. We are lucky for Jordan to have joined up with Space as a volunteer, and he will actually have a piece in this year's Environmental Ties show, and we wanted him to come in and talk to us about his piece and the show. How's it going, Jordan?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Happy to have you. First, I kind of want to get a little read on how you became an artist.
Sure.
Basically.
I think the last year of high school, like in 2009, I took an art class, and we did this like portrait kind of thing, and then like it kind of turned out kind of well, and I was like, okay, maybe I could do something with this. And then out of high school, I went to community college, took all the like the drawing and painting 1 through 3s, and it started like kind of clicking with me, and I just kind of kept going. I got super into Monet at the time, so that's kind of how I started like the plein air stuff. Mm-hmm. But basically, I've just been continuing since 2010-ish. Probably got really serious maybe in like 2015, maybe something like that, thinking like maybe this is something I can like do and like show kind of thing.
The two pieces I've seen that you do are water scenes, and you do, it's really, you had definitely have a unique way of doing those. I mean, I just think about the waves, and I really really like that way you do it. Just kind of, I can't explain it. Maybe you can do a better job with that.
I think it's just me, like, just trying my hardest, like, seeing what I can make it look like. Because waves are, like, seriously notoriously hard. Same with clouds. All that nature stuff that has, like, a set visual kind of reference, like, where you're actually trying to replicate it exactly. You're just trying to kind of do your best with the information in front of you. And it's all kind of just getting whatever happens in translation from, like, the scene to, like, the canvas is just kind of, I guess each person has their own visual flair, and it just kind of comes out with them trying to process the information sort of thing. So it's just kind of how it looks. Like, it's just me trying to bestly portray what I'm seeing, and then, like, there may be some visual differences just out of, like, skill level. I'm just, like, trying hard to, like, do it, or just, like, personal taste, something like that.
Yeah, you definitely have your own unique style. I wanted to find out a little bit how you came to Magnuson Park Gallery the first time you applied for the Plein Air show, and your piece was in that. And then what was the process for switching over to the Environmental Ties show and what we're going to be seeing from you.
Sure. I think I've been to a couple shows at Space Gallery before. I used to work at a place in Bellevue called The Studio, who Frankie Golub, I don't know, he also is kind of like a planar artist. He's shown in the planar show a few times, and he was like, you do plein airs, you should apply to this show. And I was like, oh, that's like super close to my house too. So I applied, and I think I went by a couple times, and I saw you guys were like looking for volunteers, and I was like, this is just like a the distance is perfect. Like, and also like as an artist, like you want to hang out around galleries for sure. So I was just like, yeah, I'll definitely volunteer for sure.
It was like kismet. It was perfect.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, meant to be. No, it's been great having you part of the gallery, and you know, it's important to have like artists who understand where the artists are coming from mm-hmm. when you're helping them with, you know, taking in their art and talking about their art.
Totally.
So yeah, explain your piece that is in the show.
Sure. So it was kind of like, I kind of applied. It's not like a super environmental looking piece. I thought at first maybe I could apply with a plein air, but it was like exclusively don't apply with plein airs, save that for the next show. But I had some pieces that I really wanted to show for a while, and I was thinking maybe I can try to attach their look to the theme, which is like home and where the home is, something like that. So I was thinking like it's kind of a dreamscape, and my whole idea was how do your environment affect your dreams, and how does that visual manifested image correlate to like the environment you live in, you like that you be in. Then there's this whole thing of like your dreams are kind of like your idealized place, unless it's a nightmare or something like that, but it's basically all reflected from your environment. All dreams you have are always just like a culmination of kind of your internal thoughts, what's bothering you, and like all the places you've been and seen. You'll have dreams where you're just like, okay, I remember that from like 10 years ago, like randomly. Like, so I was thinking maybe I could try to like put this piece in, see kind of if they like it, dig it, something like that. And they sent me an email back, so I was super pumped because I've really wanted to show this piece for a while.
And there was a lot of people applying to this one show, so
yeah,
congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I mean, yeah, it's a really cool topic concept.
It'll be interesting to see all the different takes that different artists have.
Yeah, for sure.
About this topic. What is next for you as an artist? What themes do you want to explore? Do you want to keep doing, you know, landscapes and the waters, or do you want to move into something else?
I definitely want to keep doing plein air. I feel like that's a lifelong thing. Mm-hmm. Abstract stuff too still gets me psyched. Pretty much just I'm super down with really any kind of subject matter, honestly. It's kind of about inspiration a little bit, like anything that kind of gets you going, like if you have a good idea or if you see a good scene, like, and it makes you want to go. But pretty much I just want to continue honing my skills, like, because that's what's cool about painting, is like it's totally a lifelong journey. Like, you're never going to be as good as you want to be. You're always like, I could probably push it a little bit further. So I think my main goal is to just get better, you know?
Right. And is it nice that being around the community of artists?
Oh, yeah.
In some park. And,
yeah, totally. And being able to talk to people like who also share like passions and ideas, like, and bouncing those off, that's always super refreshing rather than just being isolated. Like, there's no creativity flourishing in like a dark room, you know what I mean? Like, so it's always nice to talk to other people and like see what's going on.
Well, that's... Yeah, and also one last question. What do you like to listen to? What gets you pumped up when you're doing your art?
I have like a super random, specific like playlist of music that's like all... There's no one genre. It's just like, oh, I heard this on the radio. Like, I really like this song. So it's like a perfect random mix of like music I've heard since like high school. Like, literally, like, it's like a 20-year playlist. I'm not that old. But like, but yeah, it's like... I wouldn't be able to put like a certain genre on it. There's like electronic mood music. There's like Tears for Fears. There's rock and roll. It's all kinds. And it's basically just whatever song like I take a particular liking to, I'll add it to like my playlist, whatever. And then like it slowly builds up over time. So I've got like a pretty decent thing, but I don't feel like I could relegate myself to any one kind of music. Kind of like any one kind of art sort of thing. Like, it's all about just taste and how you feel at the time, how it makes you feel, something like that. So
right.
It's a big culmination of everything. I like.
I mean, it sounds just like the, our recording playlists at Space. I mean, it's a little bit of everything, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, I want to thank you for coming in and talking to us about your experiences here at Space. Good luck with the show.
Thank you so much. This has been an amazing experience. Seriously. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. I want everyone listening to try to make it to the Magnificent Park Gallery to see all the talented artists' interpretation of environmental ties. Come in between 12 and 3, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, March 13th through April 20th to experience this show. If you're looking for a way to meet artists and all the other creative people here at Space, mark your calendars for the Environmental Ties closing reception Saturday, April 19th from 1 to 4. This should be especially fun with all the different artists that will be there. And also, one more important thing is if you want to help with efforts improving our environment on a local level, please join our members at Space, Sandpoint Arts and Cultural Exchange, on Sunday, March 23rd from 11 to 2 for a Magnificent Park cleanup. So grab your friends and kids. More hands make light work. Then we're going to have a good time while we support our community causes. Please join us.
You've been listening to the Magnificent Park Gallery Exchange, a periodic series focused on the artists and the arts community showing at the Magnificent Park Gallery.